In your programs, there's an outline of the sermon, and it's titled Building Bridges with Jesus. And what I do in this, it's not so much really a sermon as you would normally think. It's capturing what God has been doing in the things that he gave us vision for in the previous year, and then looking forward to what the elders see him doing in this coming year. And so Building Bridges with Jesus is, how many of you grew up with any, Rick. If the kids can stay or they can go with Teacher Rick, and he's got some fun stuff to do with you guys. And normally we have kids connection for the children and the nursery and all that, but this is a different kind of Sunday where we let families decide if they want to keep the kids through this. But obviously when you get to the sermon part, it's like, let's rescue the kids from Craig. I get the subtle underlying message on that one. but the big idea this morning is that Jesus was sent to build bridges to help people know his Father in heaven. Now he sends us to do the same. So I grew up in California, and with for me, there was one of the world's most famous bridges, the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, which was built in 1937. It was the longest suspension bridge in the world when it was completed. And I was going to tell a story about this bike ride from San Jose, California to Oregon, state of Oregon, and how I had to sleep under it unintentionally. But I'm not going to tell that story. But bridges are important, and I wanted you to kind of know where we're headed this morning, but one of the things that's important for us to do is, like we did in the prayer services, is we had last year this overarching theme of building with the builder, and that is building with the builder has to do with love God and love one another, and that came from... And the reason it's important we capture that is still the big umbrella of what God has us in the season of focusing on, building with the builder. The building bridges is under that part of where I should switch it. Building buildings, you build the foundation, and Jesus being the cornerstone. And then upon the, which was last year, looking at was a lot about our knowing Jesus through the book of Hebrews. It had a lot to do with the activities and the Bible studies and the series we had, like through the Spirit and all the things the Holy Spirit's doing. And then we're building upon that. What's he want us to do? Because in loving him and loving one another, we have a good foundation. And the goal, bless others, as a big picture, is now let's go build bridges to other people's lives. Make sense? So this came from last year, building with the builder, of one verse from Psalm 127, and it reads this way. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. So what leapt out at to me in that fresh reading of it last year was, because you obviously God's house is his church, his people, and it's so easy for us to try to do things without God, and it's like, yeah, God does that, but if you read it really carefully, you will notice it's not saying we do nothing, we are building, but it's the Lord, it's building with the Lord that makes that possible if it's going to have the right foundation and be lasting. Amen. So, and within that, we had kind of three pillars. And the first one was, under building with the builder, was to grow in knowing the builder. And we were, and last year was growing in our confidence. And we looked at the We went through the sermon series. We went deep into Hebrews. It was a deep study. It was a long study. And you all say, yeah, but Pastor, it certainly was good. And but it's all about the supremacy of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is and the supremacy of the work he does as our high priest. And then we get called into it with the supremacy of a faith that no other religion has. And then when you have Jesus and his ministry ministering to us and our faith in him, it's like, okay, I got a foundation to build my life on, which you've heard some of these testimonies. And just to look at two verses from Hebrews 3. First, from chapter 3, verse 3, we read, and notice the bold. But Jesus, so Jesus emboldened, deserves far more glory than Moses of the Old Testament, which was a different kind of covenant, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. So Jesus is the one that builds the house. That's echoing Psalm 127, verse 1. And it goes on in verse 6 to say, but Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. It's not Craig, it's not the elders, church belongs to Jesus. Amen? That should get a really big amen on that one. And we, this is the coolest part, emboldened, and we are God's house. So it's not the building. It was never meant to be about buildings. It wasn't even about tabernacles and temples. We are God's house. It goes on to say, if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. And now we're in a series currently called Miracles, where we're looking at some of the miracles in the Old Testament, mostly the miracles of Jesus right now. And so we are continuing that growing in the knowing of the builder, which is Jesus Christ. As Kinsey just gave testimony how the sermons of, it's not just me, we have a whole sermon, a preaching team, how we're learning who he is in this amazing, extravagant love that he has for us that transforms us. Okay, so that is going to continue in different ways through different sermon series and studies and things like this. Building up one another in Christ was the second leg of or pillar of that vision. And so that has to do with discipleship and things in the way which we help strengthen each other by loving one another. And so we have community groups, and we're going to continue. We have those going right now. They're a lot of fun. We're getting to know one another because you are brothers and sisters, and so I get to know God better by getting to know you also and vice versa. We have Bible studies on the sermon series and miracles. They're going through that. We have membership classes which intentionally train up and help people be able to tell their stories, as you've heard this morning, and also what their gifts are and use those, and we have discipleship. Part of the building up one another I shared last year, I want to give an update on that one, is I love younger pastors and strengthening and encouraging them. Yes, I'm old, so you know I used to avoid it, but no, I am. But I love building up the next generation pastors, and we have been praying, meaning elders and myself, for years that he would bring a young man that I could mentor in-house, because I do meet with other pastors outside of here in my relationship with in the MP3 group, which is a pastor's group that meets monthly in Dane County. And so I've been wanting God to lead someone that I could mentor and train up to be the next senior pastor, as opposed to waiting when I need to step down and go, okay, church, you got 6 months. You know, it's like, no, I'm not going anywhere, but we want to get the voice of the next generation in here. Also, it's not just the vision, but it's a need, because in the, 8 years ago, I got lupus and an autoimmune disease, and so I'm healthy, but at the same time, I don't have the same capacities I had before, and so there's a need for that. And also, Jill works full-time in hospice and isn't able to help pastor right now. She's a chaplain in a hospice ministry. So that me and the elders had the sense that now's the time for that. And so, as you know, we've been on that journey. And this person, senior associate, will be somebody that functions also with me on the preaching team, they'll be involved in the leadership and in the mentoring, part of the MST, our ministry support team. Jill will mentor him into how you lead and administrate leaders and ministries. No small task. And so just in quickly update is, so in this last year, we've been on a learning curve. How do you search and find a couple that's called into that kind of pastoral role? And so November 9th, Ryan and Cecily, Ryan Wieland, and they were a family that was a part of our church 6 years ago, and he served one day a week, and I can't take you through that whole story now, but then God led him to be a full-time young adult pastor in the Madison area at another church because we couldn't afford that. And then he also went to Arizona, speaking of Arizona, to work for his father who has a Christian counseling ministry. And so he was a key leader, one of the key leaders in that. They're coming back November 9th because he is one of the people that applied for that position. And the elders feel like we are to continue in that process. The MST leaders and elders all feel strong that we should have him come out and preach. He's going to stay for lunch. There's going to be a Q&A. You get to ask him questions and get to know them better. And so we're excited about what God's going to do with all this. All right. The third leg is be a house of prayer under Building with the Builder. And I want you to see Matthew chapter 21, verses chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. And we read this, just so you can see the zeal of God's heart. In verse 12 it says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons." Okay, if you're new to the Bible, what's going on there? Well, there's nothing wrong with having a business and making profit and things like that, but not in God's house. And so it's kind of like they were bringing the world. It'd be like trying to come in here to worship and there's pigeons and people selling things for you to buy and trinkets and things. And it's like, no. And Jesus overturned those things and drove them out. And for me, that's a good reminder. It's no different today, right? I'm not worried about you bringing a pigeon in the house. I better not. But we let the world crowd into our hearts, minds, and souls and crowd God out. And we need to be a praying people. And that is the greatest... Again, I know many pastors, been in many churches. That is one of the greatest challenges of all churches, making space to pray. God's house is a house of prayer. For it goes on to say, Jesus said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And so Jesus had a zeal for it, and so we will too. In this coming year, we started implementing quarterly prayers, and actually we just had two last week, which were amazing. And just to say, in that prayer time, in the Tuesday prayer, we had a record number of people from the church come out to pray. We looked at Thursday, each one has a theme, and Thursday was intercessor night, and we looked at the things we prayed last, Karen alluded to it, last year, and it was amazing how ministry leaders had so many prayers answered, and that's how important this is, but this is cool too. Verse 14, what happens after he clears things out? "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Prayers are also healing of bodies and spirits and souls. And that's why we are going to continue trying to strengthen up the prayer life of New Crossing Church. Amen? Yeah, that's what you say after a prayer. Amen! Let it be, Jesus! All right. Now that brings us to building bridges, which is a focus of now, and go bless others. And so, what is a bridge? A bridge is a structure carrying a pathway or a roadway over a depression like a ravine, or an obstacle like a river. All right, so bridges get you where you can't go without it. It's taking you from here to there, right? And I guess I like suspension bridges because I built, and I don't know if we can get some of these lights off, Jameen, on the front up here. My wife laughed. So I used to be an engineer, and that's a good thing for kids because I went crazy on building a playscape for my kids from scratch. And it started off the swing set on the right, the playhouse with a upper deck, and then a tree fort. But I couldn't get them to the tree fort without a bridge, and so I built a suspension bridge to get from the playhouse to the tree fort and the slide, and later came a 70-foot zip line off the top of that tree fort. All right, yeah, I know you all wish I was your dad. Just kidding. But there are also, and be quick with the lights, Jameen. Ready? Okay. This week, ironically, as I'm thinking about bridges, I read in BBC that they've just built the tallest bridge in the world, over the Hunan Grand Canyon. Well, actually, that's the Hunjang, I'm sorry, Grand Canyon Bridge. So you could get the lights off, and I'll just kind of talk about that. It hangs 2,050 feet above the Beijing River in China, and it's the world's tallest bridge, and it cuts the travel time between the canyons on the two sides from 2 hours to 2 minutes. That is a cool bridge. And also there was a video, you know how they tested the structural integrity of the bridge, and I think I have the video on my phone. They drove 96 trucks onto the designated points to test it. Boy, I wonder how much they paid the drivers. We're not sure it's going to hold. Drive your truck on there and then park it, and let's see what happens. I'm sure it was a little more sophisticated and scientific than that. But anyway. Then I thought, well, what's the longest bridge in the world? Ranking of the longest bridges in the world is Danyang Kunshan Grand Bridge in China. And it is 102, I'll add in the 0.4, miles. I know. What? Right? That's insane. And so it was necessary to build this bridge to cross over dotted canals, rivers, lakes, and rice fields. So you kind of get the idea why bridges are important. Now we can get the lights back. So, but are these really the longest and tallest bridges in the world? I would have to disagree. So, our first point under building bridges with Jesus is he was sent to build, we are sent to build bridges with Jesus, and I want to talk about a really long bridge, but first let me read about it in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, truly, truly, meaning really listen up on this one, people. It's not meaning sometimes he has half-truths. He's just saying, listen up. I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed, or means passed over, crossed over, from death to life. That is the longest and highest bridge to pass over from death to a relationship with God in heaven and have eternal life, right? And so I like how the NIV words it just to make it very clear, and we have that on the slide. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, That's emboldened, because we're going to talk about bridges, then sent. Sent me. So the Father sent him to make a bridge. He sent him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged. So there's a judgment because of our sin, but has crossed over from death to life. So there's Jesus in some way builds a bridge for us to cross over to him. And so if you were to look at what I, now we don't have a, there isn't a physical bridge that Jesus built, but we have an animated picture here that Kim helped make for us. So there's you, the stick figure on the left. And there's God in heaven on the right. And this huge chasm, an obstacle. What's the obstacle we need a bridge for? The obstacle is our sin. Anything that we do or think in our hearts, words we speak that do not honor God, that are contrary to his teachings that Jesus has given us, and that sin causes a break in our relationship. Sin breaks our relationships, not just with each other, but with God, and it's death. And so then, what in our next slide, God sent is what John 5:24 is talking about. The one who sent me, God sends Jesus to us to build a bridge. How did he do that? Next slide. The cross. The cross becomes the bridge for us to reach God, who's been trying to reach you and me. And so that cross Jesus hung on and died and buried and rose again to make the bridge. Amen. So that is the greatest bridge that has ever been built. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father. You can't reach him unless it's through me. So Jesus becomes the bridge in which we find that life. So, sent. Now I want to look at John 3:16 and 17. And you know 3:16, for God so loved the world, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Right. But 17, a lot of people aren't aware of it, and that continues, for God did not send his son to judge the world. He did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save it through him. And so Jesus was sent, and we are sent too, not to judge or condemn the world, but to help lead them to Christ who saves us. Isn't that beautiful? So now, I want you to see that life, that how's that work? What's this eternal life that Jesus was talking about? In John 17:3, which we have, in Jesus' prayer, speaking of prayer, he says this to in his prayer to his Father. If you're saying, what is eternal life? And this is eternal life, Jesus says, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is a relationship with God. That's what we're trying to build. That's the kind of bridges we are trying to build. One's that help people know Jesus, who helps them to know his Father. And then in this being sent, I close in this section with John chapter 20. And so listen to this. Verses 20 through 21. 21 through 22, I'm sorry. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. That's what we offer people. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. So we are sent to build bridges with them. Isn't that cool? And when he said this, and you think, I can't do that, that's hard. That's all right. Listen what happens. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So not only does he send us, but he first sends us his Holy Spirit that helps us do what might seem impossible. And we do this with Jesus. And so we look at Matthew 28, and this is important because in going to bless others, we have two ministries, the nations and the outreach, which do the same thing just in different localities, is trying to reach people to help make them followers of Jesus. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says, and it said, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority emboldened, that's his power to lead us, the power to overcome obstacles, power for transformation, which you've heard about this morning. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then he says, go. We keep hearing that word this morning. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, say this with me, I am with you always to the end of the age. That is the last sentence of Matthew, the last thing Jesus said to his disciples. So there are bridges to be built. We're sent like Jesus, but we do it with Jesus, not without him, right? So, in the second pillar of this, of building bridges, is check out church. And all to say there is we had never done something like this like we did last Sunday, and it was awesome. You know, so it was kind of like, hey, invite people to check out God's church and his people and hear about Jesus' love. And we had 12 visitors that had been invited by others to come, also through the Outside the Walls ministry. And that was so cool, and there's already fruit starting to come from that. And that's one of the ways we're going to build bridges, is having Sundays where you tell your hairdresser, your coworker, the mechanic, hey, come check out church. And I know many of you did, and including me with neighbors, and they would have come, but they couldn't this time. You've planted seeds. So let's keep those relationships connected and growing. Matter of fact, kind of ironically, this weekend I just ran out the side yesterday to take a picture of it. And so here's a picture at my house. And do you see the bridge? What do you see? A camper. No, that's not the bridge. Look lower. Look down. What do you see? A driveway. I want you to think outside of the box. In other words, bridges aren't just when you get to share the gospel story. It's any way that you can make a connection and be nice to somebody. The driveway is a bridge because my neighbor has had all these construction vehicles and dumpsters at his house because he's getting a new roof and gutters and had no place for his camper. And he texted, hey, can I park my camper in your driveway for a few days? And so, you know what? It's little things like that that become bridges. So I want you to think in what ways could you meet a need and help somebody, because it can create an opportunity to build a friendship. And then you pray for them. And actually, we can get the lights on. And that takes me to, we're going to have checkout Sundays, but bless. We're going to continue our series in miracles, but in the new year, we're going to start a sermon series called Bless. And it's an acronym standing for Begin With Prayer. We have a slide for that too. Kyle, cool. Listen With Care. Eat together, serve with love, share your story. We did this series 7 years ago, and as soon as we finished it, the elders were saying, we should do that again sometime soon. And it wasn't intentional. Seven is, you know, the year of completion, but it's been 7 years, And so we're doing that again, and it really helps us think about how we can go bless others, turning BLESS into an acronym. And so you begin with prayer. You listen to people. You know, that's one of the problems Christians have is they're just always telling people stuff, right? But sometimes we just shut up and listen to people's stories. Then we eat together. And that is a, you know, it could be a, doesn't have to be a dinner in your house, which it can be. For us, it was, you know, a deck party in the backyard the year before that's led to a lot of new relationships. And then serve with love. I served up a driveway, right? How hard was that, right? Serve with love and then share your story. Pray now, get a chance to do that someday. So I'm going to close with this story, and then we'll have the worship team come up. Well, they can come up now. Save some time. But last Sunday was another good illustration of bridges. And listen up on this one, teens. So, yep, all those around here, listen to the story about teenagers. So Paul Ears was a teenager in our youth group 17 years ago with my daughter and other teens in our church. And last Sunday, before our checkout church started, I was not even here yet, but Jill told me, hey, you remember Paul? He showed up church. He wanted to talk to you. And it's like, okay, you know, and kind of like, I didn't know Paul real well. And he disappeared from the youth group after a bit. But he said he'd come back after the service because his stepfather's had a heart attack, multiple heart attacks here, and so he's flown back to be in his siblings. He's gone with his siblings to church. And sure enough, Paul came up afterward, and he wanted to thank me. He made all that effort to be able to say thank you because of the impact the church has had on his life. And so just a bridge, a youth group can be a bridge, guys. Invite your friends. You do not know what impact you'll have on them. Because Paul came up and after he thanked me and he said, I'm a pastor now. And I'm like, what? No, I didn't say that. But inside I'm like, really? Because you were just a really typical young teenage boy and really kind of flaky, and now he's a pastor in I think it's North Dakota, and he because of the youth group and sitting like the teens are now, hearing messages on Sundays, and then I baptized him. We had a baptism service at a lake, and something compelled them, fully clothed, to come down out of the crowd, and I baptized him. And I remember baptizing him, feeling, and I always pray over people, and I sense the Spirit giving me some things to speak over his life, things I'm going, yeah, but Jesus, do you know him very well? Because it was talking about being a teacher of the word and a leader in ministry, and I'm thinking, not this guy. And I should have told him, I hope you're listening, Paul. No, but he was just a normal kid, right? And we sometimes we look with our earthly eyes, but God says, look with spiritual eyes. And he just wanted to thank me for those things and baptizing him. And he's like, guess what? You know what he does now as a pastor? He pastors a large youth group. He's come full circle in life. And teens, no, it doesn't mean you'll forever be in youth groups, you know, if you get baptized and accept Jesus. But I just think it doesn't take dramatic stuff, just making bridges or being a bridge. So bow your heads. I would invite you to bow your heads. And let me just pray that over our church. First of all, Father, we bless you for who you are in our lives. Father, we lift up all these testimonies and celebrations to you and Jesus, you as our Lord and Savior, and you, Holy Spirit, who dwells within us. This is our praises of who you are as the Trinity and what you can do in ministries and even small churches. You can do big stuff in the kingdom. You can take ordinary people and transform them, and they become women and men that follow you in great acts of faith that the world may never notice. We bless you, Jesus, that you became on that cross the bridge between us and the Father because of what we have done with our lives. And you became the love that overcomes the hatred in us. And you become the holiness and righteousness within us when we ourselves have nothing holy within us. And so every one of us refreshes our hearts and faith in you this morning. We confess our sins and say, thank you, Jesus, that your death takes us right over them and they will not bring judgment upon us. And we are saved from that judgment because of what you have done for us. And Lord, with that passionate love that you have for us, let us, send us, as Isaiah said, send us to build some bridges with you into the lives of other people. Let us be aware of opportunities. Let us be good listeners and let us take those opportunities to tell others Jesus. That you are the only one that can take us into eternal life, which is knowing, Father, you being the only true God, and Jesus, you the Son of God. Amen. Please stand as